Luke 1, starting at verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered and said to her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she, who was barren, is now in her sixth month. Let nothing be impossible with God. And Jesus said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord. Be it done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Thank you, Gene. I appreciate that. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word and for its truth. And once again, as we look into this beautiful story and the events surrounding your coming, we thank you, Lord, that you came to us when we needed you. You came to us in humility. You came to us in our sin and in our darkness to bring us that hope of salvation. So, Father, I pray that through your word again this morning, you would encourage our hearts as we hear this wonderful story that we never get tired of you, Emmanuel, coming to us. And we ask your blessing on your word and on your truth this morning, that when we leave here, we can truly say it's been good to be with you, our Savior, this morning. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. During this Advent season, we have been sharing together under the theme, the characters of Christmas. And we're looking at the people surrounding and involved in the Christmas story. Those that are involved in the life of Jesus and they're caught up in the events of Christ coming and how it changed their life and how we can learn from them. Last week we looked at Joseph, the unsung hero of Christmas. A man, a simple man from Nazareth in Galilee, a carpenter, and how we learned from him that when faced with difficult situations in our life, he responded in a righteous way as his world was turned upside down, as he got the news that Mary, his fiancée, was pregnant and he knew he was not the father. And it shattered his world. And we saw that in his response to that crisis in his life, he responded in a righteous way, calling us as well the same. We also learned from him that he was willing to be used of God without seeking any personal glory. And he willingly did what God asked of him to do, to be a father to Jesus, the Son of God. And he was willing to obey God no matter the cost, even to his own personal reputation and at what it cost him. Today, as we move on, looking at the characters of Christmas, today we want to focus on Mary, the humble servant of God. And much has been said about Mary. And in some places, Mary is elevated and given more attention than she is due. In some places, she's elevated and almost even worshipped and prayed to, which would break really Mary's heart. Because Mary was just simple, a humble servant of the Lord, who again, when God called her, she willingly did what the Lord had asked her to do. And the scripture that Gene read for us just a few moments ago from Luke's recording of the events preparing for the coming of Jesus. He tells us in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Mary, to a town of Nazareth. The sixth month there dates it back to 6 months prior to the events that just happened in the beginning of the chapter. And that was the angel Gabriel had come to Zechariah. Zechariah was a priest serving God in the temple. Elizabeth, his wife, was a cousin of Mary. And he had come to that couple in their old age and said that they were going to conceive, and Elizabeth, who was barren, would conceive and bring a child. And he would become the forerunner of the Messiah. 6 months later now, Gabriel comes again to Mary with another very special message, that she would be chosen by God to be the mother of the Son of God. Mary's encounter with the angel Gabriel in this story that Gene just read teaches us four things about God this morning that we can learn as we look at Mary's life, a character caught up in the story of Christmas, who was a humble servant of God. The first thing we learn from this word of God this morning is that God shows up where we least expect him. And that's the wonderful thing about our God, that where and when we least expect him, he will show up in our life. It says that in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to, where does it say? Nazareth. That's significant, and where God chose to show up and who he chose to call in this story. Because the place of his appearing was in Nazareth, and Luke identifies it as a town in Galilee. Galilee was in the north of Israel. And here's a map. It was up in the northern part, up here, Nazareth. Nazareth was a place that you had to really try to go to because it was in the middle of nowhere. Nazareth was not a place that you would choose to go if you were planning a trip on vacation or a trip in Bible times. You would not choose to go to Nazareth. It was only famous for one thing, that Jesus came from there. It was a small unwalled town in Galilee located 15 miles west of the Sea of Galilee and about 20 miles east of the Mediterranean Sea. It was an obscure little town, much like Chicken Town, a place that you would think, surely God would not choose to visit. It's a place that nobody knows about. But that's where God chose to show up. Nazareth was not mentioned in the Old Testament by Josephus or by the Talmud. It was situated in the hill 4 miles southeast. Here's a picture of the town, a small little town. And in Jesus' day, it was believed that there was only 150 people that lived there. Okay, so it's not a big city. We would expect maybe that God would choose to show up or pick a person in the city of Jerusalem, the capital. After all, that's the big prominent place where all the popularity was, and where all the popular was. That's not where he chose to come. He came to Nazareth in the place of his choosing. It had no bathhouses, it had no palaces, it had no paved streets. It indicated that the people lived in humble homes, and they spread across the south-facing slope, as you can see. In John chapter 1, verse 46, John records that Nathanael, who became an apostle of the Lord later, had that famous question when he was told about Jesus of Nazareth. He said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And that's how they thought. It's surely not a place where God would expect to show up. It was high on a hill, far away from the main trade routes, and it was the last place that anybody would look for the Messiah or God to come. And say, so what's the point? You're saying, so Dan, what's the point? The point is that God shows up in our life, in those places, in those times that we don't expect. In those times that others would say, oh, that's not, but God comes to us. And also in the person of his choosing. He appeared to Mary, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, Mary, a descendant of David. Mary was just a humble, at this point believed, unmarried, but humble girl about probably about 13 years of age, they believe at this point. From a poor family, humble situation. But she was the one that God chose to be the mother of God. And he shows up in the time of his appearing. Because when the Lord, through Gabriel, appeared to Mary, it was a time of hopelessness in Israel. God had, through the prophets, said that Messiah was going to come. and the prophets had spoken of the coming of Messiah. But now in which Mary and Joseph were living in the times, it was time of great darkness, and the people had lost hope. Thousands of years had passed, hundreds of years had passed since the prophets had given the message, and the people began to lose hope. Rome was now in control. It was a time of great darkness, morally and spiritually in the land. And it was a time of great distress. It was also a time of silence. Because up until the Lord speaking to Gabriel, to 6 months before this, to Zechariah, it had been 400 years since there was any prophet or word of the Lord. For 400 years, God seemed silent. God seemed distant. The people were living in hopelessness. They were living in darkness. They were living in a time of despair. Doesn't that sound like today? People living in a time of hopelessness and despair. But the thing is, God shows up in those dark times of our life. In those times of greatest need. Those times when we don't expect him. And that's an encouragement to you and I this morning. To know that God will and does, Emmanuel, does come to us and is with us now and always. He's not silent. He's not distant. But he is present with us in our very life. Showing up when and where we least expect him. That's the kind of God we have. Our God loves to surprise us and do the unexpected. And that's the God we worship. Second thing the story teaches us about God is that God favors the most unworthy. As I said earlier, Mary was often elevated and worshiped and prayed to. But Mary was a person to be considered unworthy. The Lord came to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. You who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." And it said that Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. She said, "Well, why are you favoring me? I'm a unknown person from an unknown small town, from a poor family. Why have you chosen me? Why am I favored by you?" She said. She was shaken when the Lord met her. And when the Lord showed up in her life, it says she was deeply troubled. Because getting an angel face-to-face with God was a frightening experience. And too often today, I think we have lost the significance of God as our great, great and powerful Lord. And yes, he's our Savior and our friend, but I think we have brought him down to our level too much, and we've lost the awesomeness of who God is. And Mary, when she realized in the presence of the Lord, when we're in the presence of the Lord, when we come together today, wherever we are in the presence of the Creator of the universe. And it should shake us to the core in a way to believe that we are standing in the presence of God. And Mary knew that, and she felt unworthy to be in the presence of the Lord. She was troubled and shaken by that. But the Lord said, "Don't be afraid, because you have been favored by me, by the Lord." And God in his grace, even though we are unworthy to come before the Lord, God in his grace makes us worthy through his Son, Jesus Christ. And that's the beauty of the Christmas story. That God came near and God came to us. And that she was powerless to bring favor. And she said, "How can this be?" And Mary said, and the angel said, "You have been favored by God." And she said, "Well, how can this be?" And we cannot earn God's favor. God's favor is not earned. It is bestowed. And God's favor is undeserved. There's nothing we can do to earn it. And that's what this story, in the Christmas story, everything reminds us of. That in the fullness of God's time, he left heaven and came to sinners such as us to make us that we could have that relationship with him. The Christmas story reminds us, and when the Lord appeared, and when the announcement was given, it was given to the shepherds. Again, those who many had forsaken, many had turned their back on. To remind us that the Lord comes for the most unworthy, which is all of us. That's the beauty of Christmas. Third thing we learn about God is that God accomplishes what is humanly impossible. Those things in our life and those challenges that we have before us that we just feel we cannot get through. In our own strength, we try. and they seem impossible, and the mountains before us sometimes seem like there's no way over or around them. And in our own strength, that's true, we can't. But with God's power, God can do what man, what is humanly impossible, God our Savior can do. Mary said, when the angel said to her, "You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end." Mary said, "Well, how can this be, since I'm a virgin?" It wasn't that she was doubting. She just said, "How can this happen? I'm a virgin. I've never had a relationship with the man. How can I conceive?" And that's a legitimate question, right? We probably would have thought the same thing. How can this happen? Humanly speaking, it can't, unless God intervenes. And that's the kind of God we have. Oftentimes, humanly speaking, we're in a situation where we're against the problem and we're looking at it face to face and we say, "Lord, how can I cope with this? How can I get through this?" Humanly speaking, we can't. But with God, he gives us that strength and that ability, because he accomplishes what is humanly impossible in the fulfillment of his plan. And that, think of this, and it was pointed out in something I was reading this week of Daniel Darting. He said that the daughter of David, which was Mary, was the daughter of David, married the son of David and bore the eternal Son of David. He said that you will be with child and give birth to a son, and he will be set on the throne of his father David. And just think of how God fulfilled his plan. It was humanly impossible that a daughter of David would marry the son of David and bring forth an eternal son of David. And that a daughter of Eve would bear the second Adam, who through his obedience would remove the curse that was brought on by the disobedience of the first Adam. And that's what God was about to do, fulfill that was the plan that was started in the garden before the world began. And when man fell into sin, God planned that way, and he said to Eve that the fruit of the womb will someday come, and you, Satan, would crush, step at the heel, but the fruit of the woman would crush his head, and the promise of the coming of the Messiah. And it's God's plan of fulfillment of his plan. And when we're going through those times in our life of hardship, to know that God's plan and purpose for us is good. And we may not see it. We may not see it now. But we can believe that God is able to bring it about. And God will always turn it around for good. And we can trust in that, in the fulfillment of his plan, in the salvation of the lost. When he says, "For with nothing is impossible with God," that relates not only to the fulfillment of his plan, but it relates to our salvation, because there's nothing we can do to save ourselves. Remember, Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Unless we are born again, we cannot enter the kingdom of God," because there's nothing that we can do, humanly speaking, to bring about salvation. It's all the work of God. And in the resurrection of the dead, and that bringing death, our Lord brings life out of death and reverses and takes the power of the sting of death and takes it away. Come across the picture that so beautifully shows what God did through Mary in returning and fulfilling his plan and bringing about what was humanly impossible. And this picture shows Eve with the fruit in her hand that led us all into sin, with her picture on Mary's stomach and the fruit of the woman of Eve, of at Mary, going to restore and bring about salvation and life. But the fruit of the Eve ushered in death, but the fruit of Mary, the daughter of Eve, ushers in life and removes the curse and brings salvation. And that's the kind of God we have, that he accomplishes what is humanly impossible. So what is it that you're facing this morning? What mountain is before you? What discouragement lies there? Know that our God is able and greater to remove it for us. And fourth, our God uses the fully obedient. We learn this from Mary as well. For how did she respond when the angel came to her with this message? Put yourself in her place. She was engaged to be married to Joseph. We didn't know how Joseph was going to respond. Last week we talked about that. And we saw Joseph's response and how he responded to the news of this event, what had happened. But Mary wasn't sure. She wasn't sure what would happen to her. Being an unmarried, pregnant woman at that age, in that time, in that culture, carried a stigma that she would carry the rest of her life. But yet, her response was, verse 38, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. And I highlighted this week as I was preparing this message when Mary spoke. And she only spoke twice. One was, how can this be since I'm a virgin? And she was wondering, and God fulfilled to her fulfillment of his plan. And the other was, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. And we see her heart of faith that she responded and was fully obedient, said, Lord, if that's your plan, I give myself to you. And she said, yes. And think what Mary was saying yes to. Now, I'm a guy, never been pregnant, but you women that have been pregnant, you know what that is to go through. And all the changes that happens to your body and all the pain and all the changes that happen. And Mary said, I'm willing to take that on, not knowing how, as I said, Joseph would accept her in the midst of it. She was willing for her body to be used by the Lord that way. She was willing to take on any social stigma that it took to her. And she said yes, despite the cost, just the same as Joseph had done. And Jesus, even before this, in ages past, whenever God knew in his foreknowledge that man was going to be, he's going to be create man, and man was going to fall into sin, and that there had to be a way for man to be restored. Jesus, in eternity past, think of that, said to the Father, yes, Father, I'll leave heaven, I'll give it all up, and I'll go to earth and as a human being, and I'll suffer on the cross, and I'll die so that they can be restored back to us. The yes that Jesus made, that he was fully obedient. And then in the Garden of Gethsemane, as he was suffering there, as he knew the weight of the sin was ready to be placed on him, and in the garden he cried in agony. He said, Father, if there's another way that this could happen, but yet not my will, but yours be done. And Jesus said yes to the Father. And because of that, he was willing to come. And because of that, we could be saved this morning. And so that brings a decision to you and me. What's your response and mine to as God speaks to us in his word? When God, through his Spirit, prompts us and directs us in our life. It's our response to, yes, Lord, I am your servant. May it be to me as you have said. Your will be done in my life. Have your way in and through me. Because those are the people that God uses. He uses those who were fully obedient to him, not partially. Remember, it was said to King Saul through the prophet Samuel that God opposes the proud. And it's through obedience, because it said partial obedience is the same as disobedience. So God shows up when we least expect him in our life. In those times of darkness, in those times of hopelessness, Emmanuel, God is here. He favors those who are most unworthy, so we should not think of ourselves more than we ought. It's only by God's grace that we are saved. It's only by God's grace that we receive his favor. It's nothing we can ever do. He accomplishes what is humanly impossible in our life. And through his power at work in and through us, amazing things happen. And he uses those who are fully, not partially, but fully obedient, and give our life back to him and say, Lord, your will be done through me. And through that, we see God at work. As we look at the life of Mary, we can learn from her and learn how God wants us to live for him in our day. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the life of Mary and her example, who a single, unmarried girl at that point in her life, and her life was changed and turned upside down radically, but Lord, she willingly surrendered herself completely to you at a young age, giving her future, giving everything to you, even though she didn't fully understand, but knew that you had chosen her to bear Jesus, our Savior. What a precious gift. And she willingly, fully obeyed you. And Father, we thank you that you show up in those times in our life and places where we would not expect, and in times when we would not expect. And you grant your favor to those who are most undeserved. And so, Lord, we should not think that we have any special favor with you. It's only what you grant to us and what you freely bestow. It's a gift of your grace. And so, Father, thank you that you are a God of the impossible. You are a God, Lord, who can do all things as we trust and rely in you. So, Lord, may we today respond as Mary. I am your servant. May it be to me as you've said. And this week, as you direct us through your word, as you speak to us, as you lead us in our times with you, every day may our response be, Lord, have your way in and through me today as I live for you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.